Once Upon a Tune.
There's a land where the young in heart can dream their dreams forever. Set a course on your fancy's chart and let's go there together.
Columbia and its affiliated stations present something new in American radio. Once Upon a Tune, a program for all the young in heart, no matter what their age may be. The ninth chapter in Columbia's book of radio cartoons is Ferdinand the Bullfrog, a tale told in the words and lyrics of Ray Darby, set to the lilting tunes composed and conducted by Morris Certain.
You've probably heard of Ferdinand the Bullfrog. He's no ordinary amphibious animal, not Ferdinand. For instance, last year he was invited to attend the plenary session of the United Nations Organization by no less a personage than the Secretary of State himself. But Ferdinand couldn't make it. He had a frog in his throat, caused by eating too many large black Nevada flies. Ferdinand the Bullfrog is a sort of legend around Las Vegas. He lives in a colorful country full of colorful characters, but none is more vivid than Ferdinand himself. He's a crackerbox philosopher operating from a lily pad. He's like Confucius, Poor Richard's Almanac, and Kate Smith all rolled into one. It was back in the early 30s that Ferdinand first gained nationwide renown. A big piece of news broke across the headlines about that time.
Swing Johnson bill is approved. $70 million dam to be built on Colorado River. Hey, read it, paper!
But out on the red and purple plains of Nevada, where the yucca forests do their shimmer dance under the stony gaze of jagged mountain ranges, the news was received with mingled feelings, especially by the lizards and rodents and other small creatures who live there.
Mouse, have you heard the news? They're going to build a dam across the Colorado right here in Boulder Canyon.
Who is Mrs. Lizard?
The United States government, that's who.
Good. That means there'll be thousands of men around here with cheese sandwiches in their lunchboxes. Hooray for the United States government.
Is that all you can think of, Mouse? Do you know what else it means?
No, what?
When they build the dam, they block up the river, don't they?
Yes.
And when they block the river, it backs up and makes a big lake, doesn't it?
Sure, but
All right, you better learn to swim mighty sudden, Mouse. This country is going to be under 50 feet of water one of these days.
What? Oh, my. My house. My family. My goodness. Myrtle, have you heard the news? We'll lose everything. Myrtle!
And presently, a delegation of lizards, mice, centipedes, and other small crawling and hopping things approached the tiny pond where Ferdinand the Bullfrog was usually to be found, sunning himself and keeping one eye open for fat flies.
Howdy, neighbors.
Ferdinand, something terrible has happened.
Something terrible's always happening, Mouse, to somebody. How's that?
Ferdinand, how can you sit there snaring flies when we may all soon be dead?
We all gotta die someday anyhow, Miss Lizard.
Why, he ain't heard the news. They're going to build a dam across the Colorado, Ferdinand. We'll all be flooded out.
Snakes, right? Our homes will be washed away.
What will happen to our family? What about my 17 little lizards and Susie, only 6 weeks old?
I know. We know all that. Pa-doo-ee! Sometimes things look mighty dark, don't they? Thing is, there's usually a ray of sunshine lurking up far behind them black clouds.
But the United States government is behind this project. Nothing can stop it, nothing.
Have patience, neighbors. The way I see it, life's like this.
When the sky is looking blackened, black and blue. There's no reason you should cloud up too.
For the sun is shining high above the clouds,
reaching golden fingers for you in the gloomy crowds. Troubles drift across the day, turning dark hours drearier. But you will find they have a way of making bright hours cheerier. There's something that you can't surmount. Think about the things that really count.
You may find it so important after all.
Only on a hilltop do the shadows never find they have a way of making bright hours cheerier.
That's all very well, Ferdinand, but something's got to be done about this. Are we all going to sit here and let the United States government flood us out of house and home?
She's right. Fancy words ain't going to stop them from building that dam.
That's why we came to you, Ferdinand. What are we going to do?
Neighbors, there's an answer to every problem, and I got an answer to this one.
What is it?
Why, it's simple. I'll go to Washington, call on the president. If he can't stop it, nobody can.
Do you think he'll listen, Ferdinand?
Now, don't you worry, Miss Lizard. The president will listen to me. By gollies, them flies sure are getting careless. Yes, sir.
So Ferdinand packed his pajamas and his toothbrush and caught the Interstate Limited for Washington. But before long, he was squatting on his haunches in one of the outer offices of the White House. The secretary in charge of outer offices looked down at Ferdinand in surprise, not unmingled with disdain, probably because she wasn't used to having bullfrogs drop in and ask for the president.
What? You mean you actually want to talk to the president?
Just come all the way from Boulder Canyon, miss. You tell him Ferdinand the Bullfrog's here, will you?
I never heard of such a thing.
Appears like I know the president better than you do, ma'am. He's just real folks, you know, like the rest of us. You announce me and see what happens.
Very well. Mr. Ferdinand the Bullfrog to see the president.
Mr. Ferdinand the Bullfrog to see the president.
Mr. President.
Yes, Bates?
There's a bullfrog in the outer office to see you. Says his name is Ferdinand. Shall I send him away?
No, wait. It can't be. Not Ferdinand the bullfrog from Boulder Canyon.
I believe that's where he came from. Shall I tell him you're busy, Mr. President?
Busy? I should say not. I'm never too busy to see Ferdinand. Send him in at once, Bates.
Very good, Mr. President.
Bullfrog, the president says he will see you.
Sure, I knowed he would. Most Democratic feller I know, the president. Well, if you'll kindly show me through these outer offices, ma'am.
Certainly.
Ferdinand, I know exactly how you and your neighbors feel about this Colorado River Dam. Believe me, I'd like to intervene in your behalf, too. I've always considered you to be one of the very few genuine homespun philosophers left in the world today.
Thank you, Mr. President. Reckon I do my best to make life a little more pleasant for other folks. But does this mean there's nothing you can do for us?
Ferdinand, it's like this. When the new dam is built, it's going to irrigate thousands of acres of arid and semi-arid land. It's going to turn the Colorado into a servant of man instead of a destroyer of land. It'll provide power for thousands of people and for their industries. It's going to be one of the greatest reclamation projects ever undertaken in this country.
But, Mr. President, I know you for a champion of the little people. What about us? What about the lizards? The mice and snakes whose forefathers settled in Boulder Canyon when America was still in the hands of the Indians.
Yes, yes, I know, Ferdinand. And believe me, the thought is very disturbing. Something must be done for those poor creatures.
Then I can go back to my people with your guarantee.
No, wait, Ferdinand. My present position is that I can't promise a thing. However, I'll certainly investigate the matter. And if anything can be done, I'll write you a letter about it.
Thank you, Mr. President. That's all any bullfrog can ask.
Well, I'll do my best. But now, Ferdinand, let's set aside business for a few moments.
Yes, Mr. President.
Bates, I want you to go down to the Department of Agriculture and see if those large bluebottle flies are still buzzing around there. If they are, bring up a dozen or so of the fattest ones for my friend, Ferdinand the Bullfrog.
At once.
Now, Ferdinand, cigar?
Mighty nice of you, Mr. President. Ain't had a nicer cigar since my tadpole days.
Oh, tut, tut, tut. Now, tell me, Ferdinand, how are all those little nephews and nieces of yours out there? By the way, are the trout hitting these days? I'll have to make a trip out your way soon.
So Ferdinand returned to the red and purple hills of Nevada, and the folks rushed to greet him.
Ferdinand! Ferdinand! What did the president say?
Are they going to put the dam somewhere else?
And what about us, Ferdinand? Are we safe?
Tell us what happened. Hurry, Ferdinand.
Patience, neighbors. By golly, I've never tasted anything like them fat blue bottles from the Department of Agriculture.
But what happened? Aren't you going to tell us?
Well, friends, it's just like I'm always saying. Things ain't never so black, but what, there's a ray of sunshine poking through the clouds somewhere.
Then we're all right. They're not going to build a dam.
Hold on now. I didn't say that. All I got was the president's word that he'll intervene if he can. Reckon I'll be a-hearing from him about any day now. Have patience, neighbors, and hope for the best. Do-wee.
Ferdinand, you're a sure enough genius.
Oh, shuckings, Miss Lizard.
A miracle man. That's what he is.
Oh.
Bet you there isn't anything Ferdinand couldn't do if he set his mind to it.
Henry, the kitchen sink's plugged up.
Don't worry, Nellie. We'll call Ferdinand. Ferdinand will fix it every time.
Every time.
Ferdinand will fix it. Every time. If your pipes are on the hummer, never, never call up the Merck.
Simply take it up with Ferdinand, and it won't cost a dime.
Gee, he sends me. I'm just crazy about that accent.
Oh, listen, honey.
Ferdinand will fix it every time.
Every time.
Ferdinand will fix it every time.
Every time.
Never bother with a lawyer if your gal's in love with Boyer.
Simply take it up with Ferdinand, it won't cost a dime.
Darling, would you drain the Pacific Ocean for me?
Sure, pet.
Ferdinand will fix it every time.
Every time. Ferdinand will fix it every time.
If you'd like to drain the ocean with the minimum commotion,
why not leave the job to Ferdinand? It won't cost a dime.
But shortly after that, The mailman left a letter in Ferdinand's mailbox at the edge of the pool, a letter with a large and very official-looking seal on it. Ferdinand opened it with fingers that were just a mite unsteady.
It's from the president. Says here, my dear Ferdinand.
It is with the deepest regret, old friend, that I must write and tell you I've taken up the matter of the Colorado River Dam with the United States Congress, and they're very firm in their attitude. The dam must proceed as planned.
Hey, Ferdinand, what's that? Have you heard from the president?
Yes, Mal. Here it is in the president's own handwriting.
Well, what's he say?
He says, Mouse, never forget one thing. The longest lane has a turning. Nothing's ever so bad but what it couldn't be worse.
I know all that, but what did the president say?
He says, the dam must proceed as planned. The United States Congress insists on it.
Oh, fine. They're gonna turn this canyon into a lake. We'll all be drowned.
Well, Myrtle, we're sunk! Ferdinand's got a letter from the president! Myrtle!
After that, the whole valley was in an uproar, all but Ferdinand. He kept right on sitting on his lily pad, spearing fat flies and thinking. Ferdinand wasn't one to give up so easily. He thought of taking the matter up with the League of Nations through certain influential friends he had, but he soon realized that this problem wouldn't come within the jurisdiction of the League. There must be another way to save the lives and homes of his friends and neighbors. Thus it was that one day Ferdinand eased this plump bulk ashore, and with a slide rule and a sheaf of paper, he set out across the plain in the direction of the rocky slash that was Black Canyon. Some of the folks followed him curiously.
Ferdinand, what are you up to now?
There's more than one way of skinning a cat, Miss Lizard. Let me see now. Assuming rate of flow is 4,000 gallons per second.
About.
Search me.
And taking height of canyon walls is 400 foot at this point.
That's pretty fancy arithmetic, Ferdinand.
Oh, feller picks up a lot of miscellaneous knowledge if he travels around, Snake. Now then, figuring on a diversion of a quarter mile and assuming there'll be a saving in construction costs of approximately 15% due to width of canyon here.
What are you driving at, Ferdinand?
Miss Lizard, I'm a-looking for that ray of sunshine. And by golly, so I found it.
What are you going to do now?
I'm going to write a letter to the president. If I can reach him in time, we may still save our homes. Folks, we got to get through to the president before them engineers start working. Out of my way from now on, every second counts.
And Ferdinand was off faster than anyone had ever seen him move before. Back on his lily pad, he covered several sheets of paper with neat figures, got in touch with a homing pigeon he knew he could trust, and sent it flashing off in the direction of Washington with the message. Then he squatted watchfully on his lily pad, only the alertness of his eyes betraying the anxiety that was in his heart. One day passed. The second day dawned over the purple ranges of the Colorado Valley, hushed and expectant in the still morning air.
Ferdinand, they're here. They're starting work this morning.
What? They can't be.
But they are. They're bringing in machinery, and they're building a spur track from the railroad, and
no,
they're...
they've got to stop them.
Well, I heard them say they're going to start blasting today.
No, all I need was a few more hours. Mouse, we've got to stall them off somehow.
But how? I tell you, we're done for. It's too late.
No, my friend, it's never too late. Here's like we've had a little setback, but like I'm always saying, when things look the blackest, that's when that old sun's a-trying the hardest to shine through. Now let me think.
You couldn't stop them with the whole United States Army.
Wait, Mouse. There's only one answer.
Why?
We've got to appeal to the soft spot every man's got deep in his heart.
Even an engineer, Fernand?
Even an engineer, Mouse. He gets in his pants one leg at a time, just like the rest of us do.
But will he listen to us?
Go fetch Miss Lizard, quick.
Right.
Tell her to bring all 17 of her babies, even the new ones. Meet me up at the damn site in 15 minutes. Hurry, Mouse. We ain't got a minute to lose.
Reckon you're the engineer in charge here, mister.
That's right. You're a bullfrog, I see.
They call me Ferdinand the Bullfrog. This is Miss Lizard and her family, Mr. Engineer.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, Bullfrog, what can I do for you?
I'm a-coming to that. Fine morning, ain't it?
A little too much condensation in the atmosphere for my liking.
Don't mind a little condensation myself, providing it don't become too condensed. Mr. Engineer, take a look at this little family.
Do they always move in T-bar formation?
That's beside the point, friend. I ask you, can you find it in your heart to drive them from their home? Can you take from these sweet children all that they hold dear? Can you send this little mother out into the world, homeless, destitute?
My baby.
If you build this dam, you'll be taking the very life from their scaly little body.
I've often wondered what the tensile strength of a lizard would be.
Please think of them in terms of human value.
Impossible, Bullfrog. I'm an engineer. Interesting structure of the tail and forelegs. Applied to high-voltage transmission line construction, there would be certain advantages in flexible knuckles at all joints.
My poor baby.
All we ask is that you wait till tomorrow to start building the dam.
Tomorrow?
It's mathematically impossible to do if you haven't got a diagram to guide it.
Certain fundamental factors might accrue if you multiply by X and then divide it.
And the answer isn't why I can't abide it.
It's mathematically impossible to do.
Now in life there's no provision for a crew to survey the ground before we must begin it.
There's no cartograph to tell us what to do, so there really isn't any future in it.
If you can't be sure at any given minute,
it's mathematically impossible to do. It's mathematically impossible to do.
You mean you're gonna start right now? Nothing'll stop you?
We set off the first blast at exactly 10:02. That's just 5 minutes from now.
Heavens, they're going to start blasting.
Madam, if I were you, I'd run as far and as fast as possible. You too, Bullfrog.
Run? Mr. Engineer, I ain't never run from a problem before, and I don't aim to start now.
Dynamite, Bullfrog, is a problem of another color. When I give the order, the whole side of the canyon will go up.
Then I'll go with it.
What?
I'm going to see this through to the finish. If you blast that canyon, you'll blast me with it.
Ferdinand, no.
Come back, you fool.
Everybody's got to go sometime. If this is where my road turns, why, I reckon I'll keep right on moseying along. Chins up, Miss Lizard.
You can't set off that blast, Mr. Engineer. Not with Ferdinand out there on the cliff.
This exigency isn't covered in the plans. There's nothing I can do about it.
No. Ferdinand, come back.
3 minutes. 2 minutes.
No, you can't do it.
1 minute.
All right, boys, let us
rock! Don't set off that charge!
What? Who's that?
It's the President of the United States.
Why, so it is.
Hold it, boys!
3 cheers for the President. Hooray! Hooray!
Poor Ferdinand. He was a little shaky, but who wouldn't be? Nevertheless, he calmed his thumping heart and leapfrogged in a leisurely fashion to where the President was standing, waving a paper in his hand.
Ferdinand, am I glad I got here in time.
I knowed you would, Mr. President. I never size a man up wrong.
This alternative plan of yours is marvelous, Ferdinand. I took it up with the Reclamation Department heads, and they've decided to follow your suggestion and build the dam in Black Canyon instead of Boulder Canyon.
That's the best news I've heard in a long, long time, Mr. President. Like I put in that proposal, it'll do far less harm in Black Canyon.
Ferdinand, you're a very remarkable bullfrog.
Me? Oh, I just go through life doing the best I can to help others, Mr. President. By the way, now that you're here, why not stop over for a couple of days? Crowder biting up Brindle Creek way.
That's all? Well, now, maybe I'll accept your invitation, Ferdinand, provided you'll come along with me for company.
Now, this isn't a generally known fact except among certain high officials in the government and among certain creatures who live in the vicinity of Las Vegas, but it was Ferdinand the Bullfrog who was responsible for that change in the original plans for Boulder Dam. That's why the dam was eventually built in Black Canyon instead of in Boulder Canyon. But next time you're out that way, you might meet Ferdinand. If you do, it's sure to be a mighty interesting experience. As the president himself said, Ferdinand is a very remarkable bullfrog.
Ferdinand the Bullfrog?
Why, sure. He set you right.
Ferdinand will fix it every time.
Ferdinand will fix it every time.
If you're ever in a pickle or if fortune has been fickle,
why not take it up with Ferdinand? It won't cost a dime.
About that accent.
Oh, listen, honey.
Ferdinand will fix it every time.
Ferdinand will fix it every time.
Never bother with a lawyer if your gal's in love with Boyer.
Simply take it up with Ferdinand, it won't cost a dime.
Darling, would you brave the Pacific Ocean for me?
Sure, pet.
Ferdinand will fix it every time.
Ferdinand will fix it every time.
If you'd like to drain the ocean with the minimum commotion,
why not be the job with Ferdinand in both?
That's all about Ferdinand the Bullfrog, Chapter 9 in our book of radio cartoons entitled Once Upon a Tune. Ray Darby wrote the story, Morris Certain drew the musical illustrations, and the radio edition was produced and directed by Carl Beyer. John Falk played Ferdinand, and Joe DeSantis was the storyteller. Many of our listeners have written in to ask that we repeat a favorite chapter of Once Upon a Tune, and as many others have expressed regret that they missed some of the broadcasts. Because of these letters, Columbia plans to repeat from time to time the programs that have proved most popular. We'd like to hear how you feel about this. Letters should be addressed to Once Upon a Tune, care of CBS, 485 Madison Avenue, New York, 22, New York. Next week, then, we will present a special repeat performance of the saga of Thomas, alias Tortilla Jones.
Tortilla Jones! He's the roughest, toughest, hardest shooting okay. He's Tortilla Jones!
Tune in next week at the same time for a radio tour of a small boy's imagination. Tortilla Jones, Chapter 10 in the series Once Upon a Tune.
There's a land where the young in heart can dream their dreams forever. Set the course on your fancy star and let's go there.
This is Sandy Becker for CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.